This is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. When the Golden Globe nominations were announced last week, several 3D, CGI, and IMAX movies were bested by The Artist, the black and white silent film set in Hollywood circa 1927. It got more nominations than any other film. Another silent film, one actually made in 1927, is screening at Red River Theaters in Concord on New Year's Eve. Fritz Lang's Metropolis imagined a futuristic city where the lives of the working poor were sharply different than those of the upper class. It's a wonder Metropolis has not been remade. The dystopian science fiction classic included robots, a mad scientist, classed warfare, but no soundtrack. Scores for silent films were created on the spot, live, by local musicians back in the day. Writer, editor, composer, and performer Jeff Raps's day job is at the Hippo Press, but he'll be providing the score for Metropolis as it rings in the new year at Red River. In fact, he's playing it now. Whoa, Jeff, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi there, thank you.
I don't think anyone's gotten such a flourish before.
I brought my own.
Where's your orchestra? What have you got there?
I've got the whole orchestra.
It's amazing. This is, what is it called? This is a synthesizer,
it's
obviously.
It's a digital synthesizer, and it's kind of ironic because what I try to do is I use this, it's modern technology, and I try to recreate a traditional orchestral sound to help bring to life some of the great silent films from back in the 19-teens and 1920s when live music was really an important part of the experience. But they didn't have this. They had actual musicians with instruments and sometimes a big theater organ, too. But not this. So this is new.
It really is something. How do you approach something that like this? I mean, Metropolis is considered kind of a modernist masterpiece. Were there any recorded screenings of Metropolis for you to go off of?
Well, the tradition for a silent film was that it was accompanied by music that was made locally. And some of the big productions from Hollywood and also from Germany, which this film was from, they did have scores that were commissioned by the directors or the studios for maybe the big premiere. When this thing premiered, when Metropolis premiered in Berlin, Germany in 1927, there was a full orchestra playing a marvelous score by a composer that no one's ever heard of named Gottfried Huppertz. And it's a tremendous film score, especially when you consider when it was done in the 1920s before film scoring was really something that was an established art. And it still exists. But when the film went to other theaters, they didn't have a full orchestra. And so the local music director would just find the music that he or she thought would work and whichever musicians they had. It could be five people. It could be a theater organ. It could be somebody very rarely on just a lone keyboard. That's the stereotypical image of silent film.
Right.
It's like the Dudley Do-Right piano playing. But that was almost never the case. Even in a small theater, they expected to have good music with these films because it's really half the film's life is the music that is used to accompany them. It's like ballet. You don't do ballet without music. And silent film was the same thing. It was never shown in silence.
So scores could be very different from place to place.
They could vary quite tremendously, yes. And so it, now here we are almost a century later, and it's almost like an archaeological thing where some of the scores have been lost forever and they're rediscovered and then put together again. And that's what was the case with Metropolis. The film was restored to its full length recently, and the Huppert score was recorded and was reissued commercially. So you can hear that, and it's a wonderful score. We're going to be doing it this New Year's Eve in Concord, though, with live music that I do. That's my own stuff, and it's very different. And that's all part of the fun of silent film, I think, because even though these films are from another era, they respond well toward contemporary music. You can make your own music, and it makes them fresh and compelling, I think, in a way that's surprising.
It's a very iconographic film. I mean, some very striking imagery. In fact, probably some of our first images of robots, special effects that may not have the polish of modern CGI, but nevertheless imprinted science fiction film history. How about you? Do you take any kind of liberties to create sounds that would work with the film, but may not have been imagined or even heard in 1927?
Well, I think it's really important to not overdo it with the music because the film is the most important thing. What I'm trying to do is to help make it come to life for people today. And so the music needs to be more of a traditional film score type of music and not take away from what people see on the screen. It needs to add to it. And so most of the things I do, which are realistic romances or comedies, it's a traditional orchestral score. But with Metropolis, because it's set in this crazy vision of the future, the synthesizer does come in handy. So you can do some things like that. that have a little bit of a stranger sound to them than you might expect from a traditional orchestral score. So, for instance, at the beginning of Metropolis, I have this one melody that I use, which are these tones here. And I build the score out of that little motif. It's just five notes. And at the beginning, there's all these scenes of machinery. It's a montage of all this sort of futuristic modern machinery. And so you get this going underneath it. And I can play this above it, which is a harmonization of that tune I was just playing. And it does sound a little bit crazier than a traditional orchestra, you know? And then right after that, it's supposed to be this futuristic society, but everybody working in the factories has a big steam whistle that they finish their jobs with. So I'm in this setting now where I can easily go. And then some more pipes come on. And it's a shift change, and you do this sort of sadder music that shows the changing shifts. And that's actually a motif from the Roman Catholic Death Mass, the Dies Irae. I steal from the best.
You're just improvising all the time, right? Yes. This is just drawing on your whole catalog of...
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes, and that's part of the fun of it, because if you have a score that's all prepared with sheet music and you're trying to find your place and you're not looking at the screen, I think it takes away some of the energy, where if you just let yourself go and follow the film and you have enough material sort of banked ahead of time to draw upon, you can create a score in real time, and it's a very different art form than what you get in the multiplex today, I think. And it's different and fun, and there's a lot of energy to it that I think is almost part of the art of silent film that makes it very different from modern movies.
Oh, it's just spectacular to listen to. And earlier I did mention the 2011 film The Artist receiving rave reviews. Now, this is a silent film in this area of, you know, spectacular surround sound movies. Do you think silent films, or maybe even appreciation of them, is making a little bit of a comeback?
Well, I do a lot of these screenings, and it's a very small audience for silent film that really gets into it. I mean, if you let yourself go and buy into it, it can take you places that modern films don't. I think they work with larger emotions. It's kind of like opera in a way, which is a little weird because opera is all about music and sound. But it's all about big emotions, too. You know, revenge, anger, lust, fear, they're portrayed in such bright primary colors in these silent films, and music is part of that. So I think maybe the vocabulary of silent film you can still see it in some movies today. They're very cinematic because they had to tell stories back in those days visually. They didn't have people talking all the time. And the very best silent films, there's some from Germany. Fritz Lang directed one called The Last Laugh, where the German title is Der Letzte Mann. Has no subtitles at all, or no intertitles at all. It was quite an achievement. He told the whole story using just the visual things. And, of course, there's signs and letters and things, but there's none of those intertitles where suddenly you see someone speaking and then there's words and you have to read that. And so it allows the emotions to just take over you, I think. And maybe these techniques that you see in The Artist, I haven't seen the film, but I've seen clips of it, and they did a great job, I think, at using the techniques of silent film to tell a story. The visuals and the music can help modern filmmakers make films that do hit people at a level that sometimes, if you have everything, people talking all the time and so many other things to work with, you forget to tell a story or to hit people on an emotional level.
I'm going to say goodbye now so you can play us out with something that will lure us into, you know, this 2011, 2012 screening of Metropolis. But thanks so much, Jeff, for bringing your one-man orchestra in here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And what we'll do is this film has a woman in it who is used to be turned into a robot. And when she finally is, she's sent to a nightclub, and she does this sort of futuristic Broadway showstopper number, which is visually stunning to see what Bridget Helm, the woman who did this, who died only in 1996, by the way, at age 90, was able to do. She throws herself into it. And so I had to come up with futuristic Broadway show music that I have here. So I'll play some of that, and we'll see how it goes. Are you ready?
Ready. J. Jeff wraps his horse at the Hippo, but he'll be recreating the music score of Fritz Lang's Metropolis during a live screening at Red River Theaters in Concord on New Year's Eve. There's more information on the event and for links to Jeff's blog with plenty of screenings planned in the new year. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, the 95% who carry Christmas. That's when Word of Mouth continues in just a minute.